Hi, Paul Slack. It's Good News Planet. I'm speaking to Dr. Wayne Batchelor. Hi, Doctor. How are you?
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning to you. Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability among all Americans. The black men and women are more likely to die of heart disease and stroke than white men and women. Oh, boy. The good news is that if you make some small changes, daily habits, you can reduce your risk of developing heart disease in the Heart Disease Month. And Dr. Batchelor is a interventional cardiologist, a member of the Association of Black Cardiologists. They do a gigantic study and they find this kind of information out. Is that how it all begins?
Well, you know, we've been interested in understanding some of the differences in how heart disease presents and the outcomes after the presentation with coronary disease. We've done a study called the Platinum Diversity Study that looked at how different groups fared after receiving coronary stents to treat blockages in their heart. And we found that that African Americans, and especially African American women, fared a little worse for these procedures, after these procedures, even though these are procedures that were obviously needed and they had very good outcomes, but the recurrence rate was higher in African American women especially. So we've developed quite a lot of interest in understanding how this plays out in different racial and ethnic groups, especially since it's been shown that African Americans overall have a higher risk of developing coronary disease and also have slightly worse outcomes when they undergo certain procedures that are necessary.
Was this a study that Boston Scientific put out there?
Yes, this was a study sponsored by Boston Scientific, and we went across the country and enlisted the help of 52 sites from one end of the country to another who prospectively collected information on women and African Americans and other minorities. All of the different groups of minorities across the country, we were interested in understanding how these various procedures fare in different ethnic and racial groups. And so Boston Scientific was the sponsor of the study, but it was really a study done by 52 investigators across the country, cardiologists who were interested in participating.
Oh, that's great. Well, a shout out to Boston Scientific, a great company, and I've done many, many shows with that corporation, and great social responsibility. That's the good news there.
Yes.
So let's discuss now with these kinds of results. I imagine that they can apply to anybody that has heart disease. What were some of the thoughts on how to deal with the concern?
Well, the first thing is just a heightened awareness with how heart disease presents and what the risk factors are and what individuals and patients can do to address their own particular risk of heart disease. I think, you know, we have to start back to, you know, go back to first principles. It's really important that when you go in and see your doctor, you ask the question, what are my heart disease risk factors? How might I be able to change them? And what is my overall risk of developing heart disease? We have very simple calculators and models that your doctor has access to that can help you understand what your risk is and how to reduce that risk. The good news is much of your risk is treatable. Probably about 2/3 of your overall risk of developing heart disease is modifiable and not purely genetic. So that's good news. Now, as a society, we physicians, other investigators, industry, government agencies, and others are responsible for making sure that we get as much research and information on how to apply our therapies best in the right patients. And that's a whole other discussion that relates to, for example, the Platinum Diversity Study that we're talking about. We've got to do a better job of making sure that all groups across the United States are represented in these trials. Right now, we tend to have underrepresentation of minorities and women in heart disease trials. We've got to do a better job of making sure that they're represented so that we know that the therapies that come through the FDA are safe and efficacious in all groups.
Let me ask a question in regard to the study, or just, you know, you're a doctor in this field. Is weight a big factor? Because I wonder whether weight with this particular groups, can that be part of the reason why there's a concern about heart disease?
Yeah, definitely weight plays a role. I must say that my impression is that out of all the risk factors that go into, you know, determining whether someone gets heart disease or not, weight is important, but I must say that cholesterol levels, smoking, diabetes, and genetics probably play a bigger role. That's not to say that we shouldn't address weight. The good news is weight is controllable and modifiable, and eating habits are extremely important. But I wouldn't say that weight alone is driving this. I think it's much more complicated than that. So if you're looking at reducing risk, you can't sort of look at it with sort of blinders on. You have to look at the broad picture. So if you're a smoker and you're not overweight, you still have a lot of risk that you're leaving on the table. You can cut your risk in half simply by smoking cessation. So you have to look at all the risk factors and go at all of them at the same time, or as best as you can.
Let me ask you a medical question, because I'm on personally on a statin. Maybe you can even explain what a statin is, or what some of them. For the heart, for cholesterol, I mean, there has been great discoveries for cholesterol. And in fact, I had heard in England they were going to suggest that everybody take an aspirin and a cholesterol combination pill. What do you think about these? I mean, I've lived with one for a long time. Is that helpful? I found it helpful. You know, it knocked my cholesterol down as well as eating habits. But what is your thought there?
Well, the one thing that we may not always agree on is at who should be on a cholesterol agent and who shouldn't. Should it be in the drinking water? You know, who should be taking an aspirin and who shouldn't? But what's not arguable is the relationship between high cholesterol and heart disease. We have proven that relationship time and time again. And if you just simply draw a chart and draw a line upward, as your cholesterol gets higher, your risk of heart attack goes up. There's no question about that. I think where the debate lies is at what point do you actually make the decision to put someone on a cholesterol agent for the rest of their life? We have some guidelines that we as cardiologists try to stick to, but it's more complicated than that alone. I think that the cholesterol agents that are out there are very effective. They're not a replacement for diet. They supplement diet intervention, and they work in concert with diet. They shouldn't be considered as sole therapy, but they're very, very potent and very effective, and they have been shown to reduce the risk of heart attack in the right group of patients. So I think these agents are very helpful, but I don't think people should be just taking a pill and then eating whatever they want, being obese and not exercising and still smoking, and expecting that they're going to have the protection against heart disease that they could have.
How does somebody get diagnosed with coronary artery disease?
So a lot of times patients present with some symptoms and they seek medical attention and get an EKG blood work, an examination, and a history and physical from a qualified physician. Other times it's they just present with a heart attack. And unfortunately, too many of us don't know that we have a heart condition and we just end up in the emergency department with an acute problem. So there are a lot of different ways you can get into the get diagnosed. The way you'd prefer to be diagnosed is understand that you have a condition and some funny symptoms, seek medical attention, and get evaluated. Now, in terms of the symptoms to look out for, the symptoms can be very vague. It's not always just chest discomfort, and the chest discomfort is usually sort of a more of a heaviness or a pressure in the chest, but it can be anywhere from the jaw down to above your belly button, in your shoulders, neck, arms, et cetera. A lot of patients will just develop shortness of breath on exertion. They just get winded very quickly where they didn't before. Some patients will have drop attacks, palpitations, and other symptoms. So, you know, the diagnosis is usually from symptoms, but it's important that patients understand what those symptoms are and that they don't ignore symptoms that could be related to heart disease.
There's a question here that I would like to ask. Two questions our listeners should ask their doctors when discussing heart disease. What are those?
Number one, what is my risk factor profile? In other words, we can very simply calculate one's risk of developing a heart attack or having a heart attack over the next 10 years by simply inputting some key factors: age, gender, race, blood pressure, cholesterol, etc. And that's a simple question you can ask your doctor. What is my risk of developing heart disease in the next 10 years? And they can even say it's low, moderate, or high, or they can give you an actual percentage if you want it. That's number one. Number two, what can I do to lower my risk? And that's where you can speak to your doctor about ways in which you can change your lifestyle and reduce your risk, even without taking medications or without having major procedures. And if your listeners want a little bit more information about heart disease in general, related to diet, prevention, treatment options, I would point them to the hearthealthybeats.com website. It's a website. It's sponsored by Boston Scientific, and there are a lot of other websites out there, American Heart Association, Association of Black Cardiologists. But the hearthealthybeats.com is a very nice resource that's easy to follow and simple, and that your patients, your listeners can access if they're interested.
Thank you very much. Let me ask you one last quick question. We ask many people, what does peace mean to them? We're involved with the peace movement in the United Nations. What does peace mean to you, Dr. Bachelor?
There are so many common threads that unite us as a human race, and peace to me is emphasizing those common threads, of which there are many. Heart disease is just one of them. Heart disease affects us all. Everyone across the world is subject to a risk of heart disease. It's the number one killer across the world. And I think if we spent more time focusing on the common threads within humanity, between different groups, rather than the things that divide us, we'd have a lot more peace. And, fortunately or unfortunately, heart disease is one of those things. It's an equal opportunity disease. It affects us all, and as a society, we've got to really put more emphasis on prevention and treatment.
Okay, health to you, my friend. Thank you very much for taking this time with us.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks.
All righty, we do too. Bye bye.